Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we love hanging out with you. We love being in your presence, Lord. And Lord, we ask that as we worship through the music today, as the word comes forth from Pastor Henry, that, Lord, you would just find that avenue to our hearts, Lord, that we would open our hearts, that we would open our ears and our eyes, Lord, of our hearts to hear what you have for us, to guide us, Lord, to, and mostly just that we know that you love us, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for the time here. And Lord, we ask that you would just reach out to those that are not here this morning, Lord, for whatever reason. Reach out, Lord, and touch their hearts just as you are with us, Lord. Distances are of no issue to you, Lord. So all those people in our families, Lord, our friends, all those that may even be across the country somewhere, Lord, as we come before your throne, Lord, may you touch them also. We thank you and we praise you in the name of your son, Jesus. And now we have a chance to praise him, stay standing as we go into worship.
How many of you know that your worship, regardless of whether it's singing or just closet time, those moments that you're spending with God can be so powerful in such moments in your life that seem like you're so burdened. Because it's the deliberate option to choose praise over defeat.
Amen.
Saying, God, I know that what you've promised, you've given. So in this moment, I'm deliberately choosing that when I could be down, when I could be feeling sorry for myself, that I'm going to choose worship over it. There's something that happens in those moments that can be such a breakthrough for your life. Because faith is an action. It really is. It's seeing physically everything around you saying that it's not what God's doing, but you choosing to say, no, based on what you've spoken to me, my actions are to walk in it. In faith, that what you promised me, I will see. Church, this is important for us because this is where we really begin to walk in the kingdom.
Amen.
It's where you become so effective for the world that's around you. People who are searching, people who need who he is. Because it's not anything that we do or we say. It's what God does through us.
Amen.
It's the transformation, the change, the ability to go from a moment where people would say, you should just give up, to say no, because God told me that I am more than a conqueror and that all things are possible through him. Because you're meant to move mountains. You're not meant to just live day to day and think that that's just the way it goes. Because he knows exactly what he has for you. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the way that he's making in your life so that he can give you all the things he's promised, which is life and life more abundantly. Liz and I this morning were talking about, it brought something up because kids in school, we've heard start to use a lot of these like words like, oh, I got anxiety and I got this. And I'm not saying that those aren't real things. But can I tell you that God never desired for you to be in bondage by them?
Don't let your worry.
There are things that God is doing and wants to do in your life. And it doesn't matter if it's depression, anxiety, stress, whatever those words might be, he's wanting to show you how to be free from those things.
Amen.
It's not just meant to be something you read that he's telling you, I'm gonna lighten your load and ease your burdens. That's not just words. It's something that he's wanting to do in your life. And the Bible talks about a renewing of the mind. And that's the thing, is because as he deals with us and he shows us things, he begins to show us that it's not something we gotta be stuck on anymore. He begins to free you from those things. But you gotta go after him. You gotta listen to the things he's telling you. And when he speaks, stand on those promises. Don't just let them be words that go one in ear and out the other, because it's gotta be actions in your life. And I promise you, as you begin to work those things in your life and actually go after them and stand on the promises that he's given you, you'll begin to see those things in your life come into fruition. They'll happen. They'll appear, and like a masterpiece, you'll begin to see a completely different picture of what's going on in your life.
Don't let your worry be louder than your worship. Stand on his word. It's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
My sister, hello, is it on?
Yes.
Sister Jasmine, I believe that God wants to confirm. He sees your needs before you even ask. He says, greater is me that is in you, that is in the world.
Amen.
No weapon formed against you can prosper. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For he has freely given you all things. He says, just believe in me and trust in me, for I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Okay, that song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, it is so resonating in my heart right now, because earlier, you all did not see her, but Pastor John got to see Gianna, the one that we've been praying for that had SIBO, and she had her miracle healing. Her mom said she's healed of SIBO, and Pastor John wanted to meet her. So that song is truth, because there's no way that child would be in a church. And she came in. I brought her in this morning, and Pastor John got to see her. And he prayed over her, because right now she's got some other things going on. But if he can heal her from SIBO, he can heal her from what's going on right now. But Waymaker is what he is, because he is a miracle worker, because that was a miracle for those two children to be in a church this morning. My Gianna loves Jesus. She knows him. She received him at 5 years of age. I let her into it. She loves him, but her parents are not there, and they're keeping him from her. But God said, no way. He said, she is mine. So if you're waiting for a miracle, if you're believing for a miracle, if you're believing for a promise that he's given you, receive it, because that was a miracle that just happened. If it happened for Gianna and I, it'll happen for you all. Because he is a way maker. He is a God of all things possible. He is our God. Praise him. I praise him.
Hallelujah. Yes, to keep the good news going. For a while, my job at Safeway has been in limbo, and I've been seeking other employment. Well, a couple days ago, I was officially hired at the Desert Sky Cinema, and I just finished my second day there last night. And so I just want to give God the glory for and a much needed answer to prayer, and just how good he is when we need him during the times that, you know, we're desperate. He's right there. Amen.
Waymaker, has God ever made a way for you? Has he ever done anything for you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know that he's the waymaker? Hey, if he can't make a way, nobody can. How many say amen to that? Yeah, come on, man. God is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Amen. Amen. He is the waymaker. What's impossible for men is always possible with God. How many say amen to that? Yeah, what you don't think God can do, boy, he can do even better than you think. How many say amen to that? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he's bigger than you? Amen. Aren't you glad? Praise God. God is big. Amen. Praise God. And he loves you and he cares about you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You can stay and play background music all you want, bro, man. Hallelujah. The way you make it. Hey, praise God. Well, I'm kind of excited. This is going to be a kind of a cool week for me. How many know what I meant? I know what I mean. Yeah. Come on, Rosie. Yeah. Rosie made me say that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know that God always looks on your heart? Do you know that? Oh. And I'm going to read to you a scripture. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. This is what the Word of God says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen? Amen. One God. Amen. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Simple, right? Just love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Simple. Is that right? Come on. How many know we complicate things? Can you say that? Can you say amen? Sometimes we just get a little complicated in what we love. I love tacos, man. You know what I'm saying? So we get a little bit, I love football. I love, you know. But God says, hear, O Israel. Listen up. He says, the Lord our God is one God. There's only one God. How many say amen to that? There's a place in Scripture. Scripture says, who are you going to compare God to? If you compare something, you got to have two of something. Is that right? You can compare oranges. You can compare apples. Compare watermelons. We like the big ones, not the little ones. They go too fast. But you just can't compare God with anything. There's nothing to compare him to. How many say amen to that? Praise God. And he tells us that we are to love him with what? All our heart. Amen. Today's sermon is... I asked the Lord last night, God, what are we going to talk about? He said, we're going to talk about a heart attack. Let me say amen to that. Come on, man. Heart attack. I remember my first heart attack I ever had. I was in seventh grade. I had a heart attack. I was in seventh grade, and Horseman School was coming to play Lowell School in softball. The girls were. So we as guys, we always like hanging out there. How many, you know? You can't. It's one of them kid things, I guess, you know? No, I guess it still happens today. Yeah. Back then there was a song, I'm a girl watcher, I'm a girl. You don't know about that. But as the girls were coming out of the bus, that was the first time I saw Rosie. When I look, I go, man, what is that? Oh, man, I was, you know, what was that word that Thumper, Mom, you said? Twitter-pated. Good word. Twitter-pated is what it was. I mean, that really was what happened to me. When I saw her, something happened to me. And I realize now, you know, the Word of God says that he will give you the desires of your heart. Is that okay? I mean, I will tell you, it was not lust. We were in seventh grade. It was, there was something that she captured me. She didn't even know it. It was about 56 years ago. What do you think of that? 56 years ago. Seventh grade, I spent most of my time trying to find out who she was. eighth grade, I found out a little more about who she was. I found out that her dad drove a 55 Chevy Nomad station wagon. How many of you have seen one of those? They're beautiful cars, man. They're really nice. And so I, her dad just happened to Bisbee's is one of these towns that got all sorts of mine shafts out of it. If you've ever been there, there's mining shafts that go down underground all around. And it was called the Dallas Shaft that was in my neighborhood. And her dad worked at that shaft, in that mine there. That's where he went underground at. I'd go over there and put my hand on her car. Making a connection. How many say amen to that? See, I wasn't dumb. Yeah. They say, you know what? I'm going to get closer just by putting my hand on her car or her dad's car, whatever. So I would go, and I got to know all her brothers. I got to know all her sisters. I didn't know them. I knew their names. I was just kind of this chubby, pimpled kid that was, my mom made a lot of tortillas out of lard. So I blame her for that. But I was this chubby kid. And Rosie's boyfriend was one of these all-star guys, man. Man, so like my odds were, I needed a waymaker. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. My odds were bad, man. I wasn't good at football, wasn't good at basketball. But her boyfriend just happened to be captain of the basketball team, happened to be captain of the football team. He also happened to be a Golden Gloves boxer. And so I go, so who am I? I like tacos. Yeah, come on, man. That's about it, bro. But I got to know her. I got to know her somewhere freshman year. I thought that maybe just the way I looked at her, she might just, hey, you're the one for me. But no, I was in her biology class, my biology teacher. I remember all these things. My biology, it was Mr. Bullwig. And she came in with a broken leg. And people were signing her cast. And I asked her, hey, can I sign your cast? She looks at me. She goes, I don't even know you. Oh boy, that hurt. Yeah, because boy, I knew her dad's name. I knew everything about her. I don't even know you, but you don't know me. Yeah. So I said, well, I know Michael, which I never met him, but I knew his name. I knew Michael. I know Husto. I know Victor. I know Armando, your little brother. I know you, Letty, your sister. And she goes, okay, just sign it. So I signed it. Most exciting thing in my life, I got to touch where she was at. Amen. Isn't love a mini splendor thing? I went from touching her dad's car to her cast. It was cool, man. I'm in now, bro. Well, it took a while, man. Finally got to know her pretty good. She found out that nobody in her family. She goes, who's that? They said, well, that's Henry Ayala. You don't, none of her family go, no, I don't know him. Yeah, well, he knows you. Yeah, so, but got to talking. And what happened was I just started calling her up all the time and spending a lot of time with her on the telephone, the one with the cord that connects to the wall. It's got a round thing that you turn to get the number. After a while, I got buttons on it, which is high tech. Nothing like today, man. Benny's over there looking at me. What the heck are you talking about? Isn't that right? But we talked a lot. And my friends kept telling me, dude, forget it. She's out of your league. She's out of your league. But hey, how many of you know that God knows what's happening? He knew my heart. He knew that I was going to need her. And I believe that he spotted her out for me. Is that cool? Yeah. No, I didn't know him. I didn't know him at the time. But boy, I tell you what, he sure put my heart, he put a desire in my heart for her that I've carried all my life. I mean, say amen to that. So I'm excited that this year. So I just want to invite you I'm going to renew our vows. And I told her she's going to have to drive by herself because I can't see her before we come. It's one of those things. How many, How many say amen to that? Yeah. Stop it. She says, so. And then we're going to go on our honeymoon. Yahoo. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. No. Praise God. But how many know God looks on your heart? He knows your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. He always has and always will. How many say amen? Is that right? He knows more about you than you know about you. Is that okay? That's just how God knows you. He loves you. I just want to share some scriptures with you and talk about your heart, because I believe God is getting ready to attack our hearts. How many say amen to that? He wants to get your heart so it's focused. Can I say, how many know we need focus today? Would you say we need focus today? We got a lot of stuff to focus on out there that's trying to absorb our attention. And God is saying, look, there's a lot out there. I understand. But he says, what the key is to receiving from God is a heart that desires God. Do you know that? Do you know that? So let's look at the scripture. Here is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Believe it or not, everything that God is doing for you is he's looking at your heart. Is that okay? He has got you in mind. He knows who you are. He designed you. The things that you like, he probably put them in you. Do you know that? That's what I'm telling you about. Like with my desire for my wife, I believe he put that in. Now that I know him, how he works, and I don't know everything about how he works, but I got an understanding that's a little more than what I had back then. I understand that God placed that desire in my heart for my wife. Isn't that cool? That's very cool. So young people, hey, let God put that desire. Don't just go trying anybody. How many say amen to that? Yeah. It's not a free-for-all anymore. No, you let God and place that person on your life and let God lead you and guide you, and you watch what will happen. It might look impossible to you. There is no way that young lady will fall in love with me. There's no way. My friends told me that all the time. But yet, praise God, it happened. How many say amen? Yeah, hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. God looks on your heart. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Believe it or not, the very breath that you have within you has been given to you by God. Anywhere God's not, you don't want to be. How many say amen? Come on, man. You don't want to be anywhere where God's not. Hallelujah. He loves you, and you can't hide from him. He cares about you. He sees everything about your heart. Man, there's a story in Ezekiel where God tells Ezekiel, I want you to go over, and I want you to don't go to the door, dig along the wall of the temple. So Ezekiel goes over and he digs. And while he's digging, the scripture says, behold, the door. There's a door where he's digging. And the Lord says, now go in. And I want you to look at all the abominations that the elders of Israel are doing in my temple. And when he went in, he said he saw all sorts of abominable. Close enough. Let's just say horrible stuff, okay? It's easier. But it says that he looks in there, and he's inside the temple, and he sees these things portrayed all over the walls on the inside of the temple. He says, and the elders have got this incense in their hand, and there's this smoke filling this temple. And God is saying, that is not about me. That is about what they have and what they want. That God was revealing the heart of Israel to Ezekiel. Isn't that crazy? And then he told him to go stand in front of the door. And he says, well, the elders of Israel had their backs to the temple, worshiping the sun god. Totally out of focus. How many say amen? Yep. I mean, aren't you glad I wasn't God? I would have said, well, that's enough of that. That's done. Piece of cake, get rid of it, get somebody else. How many say amen? No, hey, you know what? God knows what's going on in our hearts. He really does. He always will. Mm. You can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide. You might think you can hide, but you can't. He knows your heart. Jeremiah chapter 17:10 says this. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. To give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So God is declaring that he searches the hearts. Is that all right? He's the one. Nobody else. Sometimes God might give you a word that you know what's in somebody. God will give you a word about somebody else, what they're doing, what's in their heart. I remember an evangelist talking about this man and wife that were, they were just struggling and struggling. But one day as they walked in, the evangelist told the woman, he said, I need to talk to you just for a minute. And he said, I saw you last night. I saw you in that car with that man that was not your husband. God is saying, enough. Isn't that crazy? Sometimes God might do that. Sometimes God might reveal something. Sometimes, but God is the searcher. God is the one that knows the hearts. How many say amen to that? They should have known it when Jesus showed up. How many say amen? When Jesus showed up, they accused him. Man, he was casting out demons. Amen? And they said, hey, he cast them out by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Because he's in charge of them. Well, I'll tell you what, they're right. He was in charge, but he wasn't casting them out by the devil. He was casting them out, like he told them, with a finger of God. Who's that? The Holy Ghost. He says, I'm casting them out. And this is what Jesus told those guys. This is Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That's a good word. How many say amen? Amen? Anything that's divided will not stand. This is why God is trying to bring the body of Christ into a unity that we've never had before. How many say amen? Amen. It's not about how tall our buildings are. I was in South Bend, Indiana, and had some time. So I was driving around the city, and I'm looking at churches. You would not believe how many churches are in South Bend, Indiana. Has anybody been there? I mean, not been to anybody live there? Yeah, it's a lot of churches in that city. So I'm cruising around, I go, look at all these churches, cool. This has got to be a Christian town. And just so happened, I drove down this road and there was these two buildings that looked exactly the same, exactly, but they're on either side of the street. And there was a gardener out there and I'm just looking. I said, these are neat. It's kind of neat the way they did this. And I said, are these the same? He says, no, they're not the same congregation. They're not, you know. He goes, no, there was a church split and the people left and they built that church is the newer one. They built it exactly like this one out of a church split. Isn't that weird? I said, well, that's cool. Exactly. He goes, well, not exactly. He says, so they could bragging rights, that steeple is a foot taller than that steeple. You can't see it from here, but it is. Isn't that just like people? Isn't that right? I don't think that was any of God's business. How many say amen? I don't think God said, go out and build another building just like it. I want you guys to separate. Get over there. Build a building, but make yours a foot taller. That way they'll be jealous. No. That's all man. How many say amen to that? It's all man. God searches the hearts. He knows people. He knows us. I want you to notice what it says right here. And Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. Amen? Here's another one. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 17 through 22, check this out. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Here they are. The Pharisees are going to Jesus, and they got questions, and they want to catch him in words. He said, tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now, that's a tricky question, huh? Should we give him money or not? Come on, preacher, tell us. But Jesus perceived their wickedness. You see how he perceived their wickedness and said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? He says, show me the tribute money. So show me a coin. And they brought to him a penny. And he said to them, whose is the image and superscription? They said, Caesar. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Amen?
Amen.
Is that a good answer?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I would have loved to have come up with something like that. Because on that picture is the image of Caesar. Yeah. So I could see Jesus here. Give it back to Caesar. It belongs to him. But see, you're the image of God. And you belong to God.
Amen.
He says, so, hey, man, let's get this thing right. I mean, and what's their reaction? And when they heard that, these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell them like it is. That's what I like. How many know, folks, we're God has called us to tell it like it is. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Not dance around. Hey, man. Well, yeah, it's okay. Give him an offering if you want. Give it to Caesar, whatever. No, hey, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give God what's his. That's you.
Hallelujah.
See, he perceived their wickedness. That's pretty cool. Because this whole time, Jesus is showing who he is. I am the searcher of the hearts, he says. I search the hearts. I see your wickedness. Boy, that's, sorry, Lawrence, I'm not pointing to you. I'm just talking, preaching, okay? Some people go, hey, me? Not me. No, I'm not me. Mark chapter 2, verse 5 through 12. That's what he says. Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the sick of the palsy. Remember, this is a story where there was four people carrying a guy on a bed, and they couldn't get through the crowd. So they look, and they say, hey, you know what? Let's take him up on the roof. So they go up, and they break up the roof, and they drop the guy in between, and down in, right in front of Jesus. And it said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Now here, God is, here Jesus is listening. I mean, say amen.
Yep.
Hey, you know what? The U.S. government has got nothing on God. I mean, God can listen in to some conversations. Amen?
Yep.
That'll make you go, uh-oh. Oh, yeah, I better be quiet. Yeah. Because God hears the hearts. He sees the hearts. And Jesus saw their faith. He said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Okay, here we go. Amen?
Yeah.
Only God can forgive sins. Oh, I love it. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason amongst yourself, these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of palsy, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go thy way into thy house. And immediately he took up his bed. And went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all, what?
Amazed.
And glorified God, saying, "Way, we ain't never seen it like this before." Amen?
Amen.
Folks, we're headed for a time where you'll be walking and then something will happen and people will see the event and they're going to say, we've never seen it like this before. Because the glory of God is going to be revealed in the earth like it never has before. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
These people, when they saw and heard, even when Jesus said, why are you reasoning in yourselves? Hey, he's the searcher of hearts. They knew, the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew that God said in his word that he's the searcher of hearts. And now he's searching their hearts and he's telling them, hey man, why are you perceiving that? Why? I perceive that you guys are talking this way. Woo! Powerful, powerful witness of who he was. And he wasn't afraid to say, your sins are forgiven. When he said it to the sick of the palsy, your sins are forgiven. Oh, praise God. You see, God, Jesus searches your heart. He looks at you. He sees you. He hears you. Amen? Oh, God. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16 says this. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Is it possible for your heart to be deceived? Can we deceive our own hearts? A lot of folks say, not me. No way. Yeah. Is it possible that we might be able to deceive ourselves? Yeah. This is why the Word of God tells us to try and to test ourselves, to test the spirits, make sure that, are you humble? Is the reason you're doing something because you want to be noticed? Is it accolades? Are you looking for somebody to clap for you? What are you looking for? Are you looking to see that God be glorified? Because if you want God glorified, I believe that if your desire is that you glorify God, I believe that God will use you in a way that you never expected. How many know? That ought to be fun. Can I tell you, doing things for God, I believe it's fun. I think it's more, I mean, it's not entertainment. It's just plain fun. It's good to do things for God. I was at the hospital and a lady had told me, she goes, go pray for this person in room 22 or something down there. So I said, okay, I'll go. So and what's her name? Well, his name is Walt. His wife asked for prayer. Okay. So I go down and I go, hey, is Walt in 22? They look at me and say, who are you? I said, well, I'm a pastor, and I was asked to go pray for him. He's in room 22. And you got to be honest, amen? Amen? They asked me, do you know him? I said, no, I don't know him at all. Then they said, no, you can't go in. I said, okay. I said, no problem. I could say, no, I'm going in, right? Did you hear me? I'm a pastor. That's what I do. I pray for people. Don't you know that? Let me in, you nincompoop. No, I didn't do that. I said, okay. But what I did, I said, Brother Walt, I speak from here. Be healed in Jesus' name. And, you know, there was a guy who, as I was going out, he went like this. Good man. On my way out. They probably don't want me back there anymore. I don't know. I don't know. But you know what? To me, that was fun. I got rejected. It's okay. It's okay. Hey, I'm not here for my own business. I'm here for his business. I want him to be glorified. And I believe that God is desiring that every one of us say, hey, man, check my heart, God. That's what the next scripture, I believe, is. I'm going to ask you to put up 51:10, okay? Psalm 51:10 says this, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. David said this after his little episode with Bathsheba and her husband. And I was saying this in the men's meeting the other night. I think it was a men's meeting yesterday. Yeah. But David, if you go and look, David committed. He broke all 10 commandments in just that little episode. He lusted, he killed, he went after everything. And when God got a hold of him, isn't that good? I just love that story when Nathan the prophet comes up and sticks his finger in his face. You're the man. You're the one that's done this thing. And David didn't, hey, shut up. You know, David told him, hey, God, forgive me. And these are his words. And he says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I believe that that is what God is looking for. How many say amen? Amen. Sometimes we do things wrong, folks. How many say, yeah. Sometimes we don't quite get it right. Is that okay? Is it okay for you to jump on somebody because you see that they didn't quite get it right? That's not okay. They know. You don't need to put an emphasis on it. Remember, sometimes we do that with our own kids, isn't that right? With our children. Hey, what are you doing? You know, we get after them and everything. And I say, you know what? They're kids, man. They're going to make mistakes. But they need someone to speak God's word in them. They need someone to be anointed with God to speak a word that God has for them. Do you know that your children need that from you? Your children need such a need you to have such a connection with God that when they come, you speak these things to them because God is speaking to them through you. And don't just throw out scriptures. It used to be a place where people, well, spit out a scripture, a few free, here, I'll give you some scriptures and just spit them out there and then turn around and say, well, you know, God's word doesn't return void. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who gave the word? You or the Lord? Let the Lord give the words. Can you say amen? You're anointed by God to speak for God. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. He is anointing you to speak for him. Is that okay? It's not you doing the work. It's him doing it. I've said this over and over again. You can't save anybody. There used to be, I was raised in the church, and I said, when you lead somebody to the Lord, you have to be there for them all the time. That way you don't want to leave a baby Christian out there all by myself. I was taught that. And the Holy Spirit said something to me one day. Where are you going? I'm going over to his house. You don't think I can take care of him, Henry? This is the Holy Spirit saying, I can raise my kids. You leave them alone. You did your work. Let me do my work. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? See, our hearts sometimes can deceive us, can't they? But God is the only one that'll get you right. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't live your week without reading his word, without worshiping him in your closet, without having conversation while you're in the way. We're always going in or out of someplace, is that right? You're always going in or out. I mean, on the way in, having a conversation with the Lord. On the way out, having a conversation with the Lord. He knows your heart. Amen. And he wants to talk to you. He wants to give you good things. Amen? Yeah. Skipped over this one. Jeremiah 17:9 says this. Did I hear that? The heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. How many know this scripture? Yep. Isn't it nice? The heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's asking a question. Who knows your heart?
God.
Jesus knows you. He knows your heart. And he's given you a new heart. Can you say amen to that? If the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within you, he has given you a new heart. Is that okay? Psalm 51 verse 17 says this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. When you go before God, when you've done something wrong, you go before God and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me not to do that again. Show me what's going on in my life that has created this place where I've done what I did, and help me through it, Lord. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit's, one of his main jobs is to get you cleaned up. Do you know that? He's to clean you up. He's to transform your heart. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My desire is to walk in the perfect will of God. Is that okay? But it takes a clean heart. A heart that loves God and wants to do what God wants them to do. It's not hard. Psalm 34:18. I love this. The Lord is near. That word nigh, how many know it's near? This is King James. The Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart and saves as such, be of contrite spirit. Huh. Sometimes we get too big for our britches. How many say amen to that? too big. I'm a little big for my britches right now, huh, babe? Trying to lose some weight for next Saturday. Pray for me. Hopefully I can fit into the suit I'm... Yeah, Rosie keeps yelling, stop it. Stop it. Hey, 50 years. Yeah, 50 years. This is my last scripture. This is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Is that right? That's pretty sharp. How many say amen? That's pretty. See, no, I mean, see, the Word of God is pretty clear that you are not just soul and body. You can go into a lotion store or something, you're going to see things that call soul and body and soul, body and soul, body and soul. See, the world mostly recognizes body and soul, but they don't really recognize that the spirit and the soul are two separate entities. Do you know that? How many of you guys know that? So the soul and the spirit are two separate entities within you. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's where you think from. You get. That's where you cry from. I mean, these are the things of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit. When it's born again, it has what's called a consciousness, a God consciousness. Isn't that cool? There's a little piece of that. Before you were born again, there was a conscience in you. That when you do something wrong, you knew, hey, I got to hide. Is that right? Is that right? Is this right?
Yes.
Brian, is this right?
Yes.
This is our psychologist right here, man. Yeah, and he says, we do something wrong, we want to hide, right? Before you knew the Lord, there was a hiding process that we went through a lot. Is that right? How's that? Charlotte's Web? You say, oh, what a wicked, how's it go? What a web we weave when we practice to deceive. Why? Because it turns into a web of all these little lies all over trying to cover up that one little thing that you did. Amen? This is before you knew the Lord. But when you gave your heart to the Lord, now he turns your spirit on to full throttle. Is that okay? Now you got consciousness, not sin consciousness, but you got your conscience comes alive. There's something that happens within you. It's called communion. You begin to communicate with God by your spirit. Isn't that cool? And you get to know things. He gets to show you things. The Word of God calls, well, it's called intuition. How many ladies, how many of you know that ladies have more of a powerful intuition than most men do? Yep. Why God did it that way, I don't know. But I have noticed that some ladies just know things. My wife told me, even she goes, I think God wants us to pastor a church. Shut up. Are you kidding me? I don't know how to do that. Intuition. How many say amen to that? So you got intuition, you got consciousness, and you got intuition, you got conscious, and you have communion. These are the things that you communicate with God with. See, God is a spirit. So in order for him to communicate with you well, he needs to speak to your spirit. Is that cool? And he speaks to your spirit. And then your spirit begins to transform the mind. How many say amen to that? Amen. The mind's going, what? I don't get it. Yeah, well, you're going to get it. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. For me, it was drinking. The spirit came in and said, man, you're done with that. My mind go, huh? Are you kidding? Oh, it was a wonderful thing. See, he works on your heart. I mean, thank God for AA. People has trying to help people. They're trying to help people. Can I tell you that the real help is the Holy Ghost? He's the only one that can help you out of anything. And he will if you humble your heart. Say amen. Lord, I need some help. You see my heart. You know I can't do it, Lord. You know I think I can do it, but you know better than that. See, I thought I could quit drinking. How many say amen? Every Lent, because we were Catholics at the time, every Lent, Rosie, I'm gonna quit drinking for Lent. 2 weeks go by. Sorry, babe. Sorry. Another year, I'm gonna quit drinking for Lent. Never happened. My intent was good. I wanted to, but I just couldn't. It would never, I mean, I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't get out of it. Folks, I'm gonna tell you, I had a hook in me. And it was working on me. But the more I tried to get out of it, the more I realized I couldn't. Isn't that cool? Because I think that's God. God is saying, look, you can't do anything without me. How many know that Jesus said that? Without me, you can do nothing. Is that right? You can't do it. It got to the point where I tell her, hey, babe, I want to quit drinking. She told me, shut up. Don't even try. She didn't even think it happened. But I'll tell you what, my mom, how many say mom gets in the picture? If mom gets in the picture, mom told me, you know what? I told your wife to divorce you. What? I didn't like it. I told dad, mom, I was drunk when she told me that. I said, stop it. Never mind. I had to go to work the next day. But that scared me. You guys really don't know how hard I worked to get her. And I wasn't about to release that. And I said, I got to quit. So when Pastor David Stoll got to me in the vault, I was in the vault. It was August. It was hot. I was drunk. I had gone in to work drunk. This is nice for a church, isn't it? But anyway, I'd gone into work drunk. My boss looked at me, you go find a place to hide. The coolest, the best place to hide in August up at the mine was in an electrical vault because they're air conditioned. I went in there and there was a man named David Stoll. He walked up to me, he says, are you here to de-energize something? And I looked at him and I go, no, I'm just in here taking a break. And I remember him as being a guy that would walk in there and start kind of preaching to all the guys so everybody expand and get out. And so I asked him, I just came out of my mouth, hey, are you a preacher? And he goes, do you know Jesus? Isn't that like Pastor David, huh? Randy, isn't that like Pastor, do you know Jesus? I said, oh, well, I'm a Catholic. So God had to, you're not very smart, Henry. I said, I'm a Catholic. He goes, I didn't ask you that. I said, do you know Jesus? And I go, I don't think so. And he said, do you want to know him? Yes. Led me to the Lord, and I just wanted to cry. And all of you have heard this before. This is probably, oh, man, he's going to talk about it again. But I'll tell you, this is my testimony. This saved my life. Saved my marriage. I got him out of the way. I said, I got to go. And I was walking through the mill. And while I was walking through the mill, I'm weeping. And I said this, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I felt this, whoof, like this, like something warm just poured all over me. And I stopped and I wept. And I kept going a little more, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I said it again. Whoa, it did it again. What is this? So I went and hid behind some large beams in that mill. And while I was in there, I was saying, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it was a washing that was happening. I didn't understand. I had no understanding of what was going on. Got back, I looked at my clock. Oh, it's lunchtime, time to go eat. So I went down and my boss looked at me and said, man, you look good. Man, my headache went away. Everything that was, you know, like my hangover was gone. A few years later, I was youth pastoring. And what I would do as a youth pastor, I would fast on Tuesday, fast on Thursday, and then generally on Tuesday or Thursday, in between that time, God would begin to speak to me about a message for the young people. So that was kind of like how I'd do it. And so this one particular week, fasted. He didn't say nothing to me. Thursday, fasted again. What does nada mean? Nothing. He didn't answer. Saturday, we're at prayer meeting, And I'm praying. I said, God, you got to give me something for the kids tomorrow, Lord. What do you want? If you don't give me anything, I'm the same way here. If you don't give me anything, I ain't saying nothing. I'm not going to say nothing. We'll worship or whatever. Nothing. He didn't say anything. On the way home, I'm driving down the street. And he says, stop by a bar and get a bottle of beer. I go, what? I rebuke you. No. No. I said, what? He says, get an empty bottle of beer. So I went and I pulled in. Guess where? This place right here. At the time, it was Bowling Alley. There was a bar right here. And one of the young ladies in the back of on the back side of the bar, bartender, she goes, what are you doing in here? I go, hey, I need an empty bottle of beer. She goes, oh, yeah, I got one of those. So she brought me a light beer. How many like light beer? Yeah, don't answer. I'm just kidding. I want to trap you. You, and you come to my office after church. And I'm just kidding. Well, she brought me a light beer, and I looked at it. I go, hey, by any chance, you got any Budweiser long necks? She goes, well, I don't know. So let me go back. So she looked at it. She goes, no, don't have any. I go, she goes, but there's some boxes we lay out front for them to take away in the trash. You can go through those. All right, I'll do that. So I went out there, and I'm out there and looking through these boxes, pulling these bottles around, and a couple of guys come in and say, bro, we'll buy you a beer if you want one. No, thanks. Found my bottle, took it home, and Rosie looks at me. She goes, what? What are you doing? I go, well, the Lord told me to get an empty bottle of beer. I don't know why. She goes, okay. So I washed it out real good and set it on the counter. Next morning, pastor gave me a call, and he says, Henry, I'm not feeling good. What were you going to do for the kids tonight? And I said, oh, I think it was just my testimony, I think. I don't know. He really hasn't given me anything. And he goes, go ahead. And he says, will you preach this morning? I said, sure. So I went in the morning, took my bottle. It's in a brown bag. And I'm preaching. And you know what? Because, folks, if there's anything that I know, God writes his word on your heart. You know, we're talking about heart attack. He's attacking your heart with the word of God. He wants your heart to absorb these things. See, those guys in the Israel, they were looking at all this nasty stuff on the walls. Well, God is in the process. God pulls all that stuff down and he replaces it with a word. Is that okay? Puts his word on the wall. Is that okay? Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Here's what he's doing. I get up there and I start talking, just talking about my past and about how God saved me. And when I pulled that bottle out, I looked at the label for a minute. You should have seen everybody going, what? What's he doing? And I looked at the label and I saw King of Beers. And when I set that on the table, I said, you know, when God took me out of my sin, the word he gave to me was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I grabbed that bottle. This bottle says King of Beers. And I said, man, I put it on its side. And I said, it had to submit to the word of God. Folks, I've never tasted it. Well, I did taste once, probably not too long after that. But I haven't had anything to drink since then. I tasted a beer one afternoon. I was helping a guy work on his house, and he didn't have anything. His power was out. He had a nice chest, and all he had was long neck Budweiser bottles. Oh, wow. He goes, go ahead, man. I said, dude, I don't drink, man. My choice, because the Holy Spirit had gotten a hold of me. And he goes, go ahead, man. There's nothing else. You can suck on the ice if you want, but I've been putting my dirty hands in there. So I grabbed a bottle. He opened it, took one taste, and it was like, the first time it was bad. It felt like, hey, this beer is skunked, man. He goes, no, it's not. It was, hey, man, you know what? I haven't had anything since. My intent is not to tell anybody here, hey, you got to quit drinking. But my intent is to tell you that God sees your heart. He knows your heart. And whatever it is that you're going through, that you need maybe deliverance from, I got this bad habit. God wants to place his, he wants to rip that off the wall of your heart, and he wants to place his word there. And once his word is there, folks, can I tell you that? Can I tell you, once his word is on your heart, you've got no more problems with that. The Holy Spirit is there to speak to you, to remind you, to tell you, hey, you belong to me. I have redeemed you. How many say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. So it says this. It says, the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even of dividing us under soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner. The word of God is the discerner of the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Do you see that? Nobody can hide. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. How's your heart this morning? How is your heart? How's your heart? Is your heart hungry for the things of God? Or is this just something you do on Sunday morning just to, you know, hey, it's what I do. But then afterwards you go out and you do whatever you want to do. How's your heart? Is it hungry for God? Is it hungry for his ways? Because going to church doesn't show that you've got a hungry heart. How many say amen? Living your life for God shows you've got a hungry heart. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Abe, where you at, brother? Yes, come on, let's stand. Glory to God. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
You know, in youth group, we've been talking about that quite a bit lately. The heart. Guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. Man. You know, there's a lot of stuff lately where people can take it in and they'll just be angry, upset, or fearful. That their world's going to change in a way that they don't like. And then we can lash out where we're saying, well, we're doing it for God. But we're not doing it in a godly way. You know, it's kind of funny to look at, too, David. Now, how many of us see him as a Bible hero, right? Slayed Goliath. But it's just crazy to think that, like Pastor was talking about, with one action, he broke all the commandments, right? So it just needs to be this thing where we can still believe in people. We can still love people, even if they do bad things. Just like we still can look up to David and the good things he did for God. We need to be forgiving in all ways to all people. And we need to not react out of fear, but always react out of love. Yeah. And that our hearts are pure, clean, just as we read earlier. Amen. There's so much power in that. If anything the world needs right now is us with our hearts pure and clean and totally devoted to God. Amen. So if you would, let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you reveal to us in our hearts how you want us to change. God, the things that you just want us to grow more. And Lord, just let us be so aware of your love for us, that you have forgiven us for everything, past, present and future. And that, Lord, you're going to use this no matter what. Amen. And Lord, just help us to be keenly aware of what our heart's motives are. And help us to just strengthen and guard them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless. Have a good week.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.